Okay, let's pray. Jesus, we welcome you here. Thank you for being with us here this weekend. But we're just hungry for you. We recognize tonight that that connection, that intimacy, that desire that we have, you put that in us. There's a hole in our hearts, God. That's a God-shaped hole, and only you can fill it. Lord, we ask you tonight, come and touch us. Every adult, every young person in this room, come and speak to us. Pray where there's resentment, where there's pain in our hearts towards someone else because someone did something against us, we ask you, by your tender heart, to show it to us tonight. We want to be free tonight. We don't want to wait 10, 20, 30 years to be free of some of these things that's happened to us. Lord, we ask you, help us. Come and visit us. We thank you for the worship time. We love to worship you. We say, we love you, Lord, as we sang. We love you, Lord. Just ask God right now to open up your heart. Help. Ask God to help you to open up your heart. Some of this might be a little bit tough to hear, but ask God, give me courage tonight. Speak to me. Oh, you love us, Lord. Every single young person, every adult in this room. Come be near us tonight. In Jesus' name. All God's people said,
Amen. Amen.
All right. Hey, and I said that my wife and I, we were in Hawaii for the for 1 year before we came back to New Jersey. And after we got married, we rented a portion of a house. It was right by the bay, and we have, you know, the oceans right around. It's beautiful, you know, it's wonderful. So we were really blessed. And inside of our house is one of those, what you call a stand-up shower. Do you guys know what a stand-up shower is? It doesn't have a tub. You know, it just has a kind of like a floor. And basically, you know, you have water spouting from the shower head. But what I noticed was that after a couple of days of being there is that the clog, the drain thing was clogged, right? The drain thing. So water was kind of rising. So I'm taking my shower. It's like dirty water, but it's like it's making my leg dirty. You know what I'm talking about? Have you ever had that happen?
Yes.
You're like, oh, it's like I'm getting more dirty, feels like, right? So after a month, I'm not very bright. After a month of this, I decide, okay, enough's enough. I'm going to get my toolbox, and I'm going in. I'm going. So one afternoon, I unscrewed a little round shower drain grid. I actually took a picture of it. This is how I think. Yeah, I don't know. So let's see if we can get a picture. There it is. Anytime something happens, I'm thinking, like, how can I share this as a story, right? So I take a picture. See, you see my little lamp? You see my dirty chopstick over there?
I'm Asian. What am I going to do? It's cool, you know, wooden tools. Clearing drains, you know, that's what I do. MacGyver, you don't know MacGyver.
You see the Lysol there, I'm trying to clean it a little bit. I got my little lantern. So I unscrewed the little screws, the two little screws on the drain, unlocked it, because I'm like, I'm going to go in, you know, going in. And so I unscrew it, and I take my little wooden disposable chopstick, and I start poking around, right? And there's a little random things going on, but not a whole lot. So I'm thinking, but there's still got to be something. It's really dark, right? Even as I put the lamp in. So I stick my hand, like, way in. With the chopsticks, right? That's exactly how I look. Try to grab at something. And then what happened next is one of the grossest things I've ever seen, ever smelled, ever touched. The chopsticks took a hold, grabbed a hold of this wad of hair, and I'm pulling it out. It's all coming out in one piece. So imagine if you made like 3 packets of ramen, like instant ramen.
Oh my god!
And the sakuraba, you know, you boil it, you stir it up. Take chopsticks and you kind of fling it all in the air. I mean, it's like this whole big wad, right? It was just like that, but it was like jet black.
And it's literally like 3 feet, 4 feet long. Because it's all like clumped together. It's all slimy. It's got that like perm smell. You know what I'm talking about?
Oh!
I can still see it now. And, you know, you get that in hair salons, you know, it's like roasted hair. And it smells like someone cooked it. And it just makes you want to hurl, right? So what's been collecting in there was probably for like 5 years of people's hair. And there was people who lived there before us that rented it. Now, holding on to unforgiveness, right? Probably have not. Okay, I'm not going to show you the hair. Everything you ate tonight, I'm going to see it right in front of me.
Can you take a picture of it then?
So holding on to unforgiveness, it's like holding on to that clump of nasty hair in your heart, right? It clogs your heart and blocks you from receiving God's blessings and forgiveness. It's just like that. You hold on to it, it collects, and it really grows. And it not only it just messes you up, but it also blocks you from getting the fresh water to come in. You know what I mean? To kind of wash you clean. That's what unforgiveness is like. Now, if you've been around this community for any length of time, and I'm part of more officially another community, just down there in Princeton, but if you've been with any Christian community for any length of time, I can guarantee you one thing, that if it hasn't happened to you already, it's going to happen to you very quickly, is that someone is going to really hurt you in this group, right? I'm just like, what? No, of course you know that. Maybe it's already happened. Or maybe someone is going to really hurt you in your family. Or maybe your sibling. Or maybe a parent. What really hurts you. And that's just part of living in a broken world, right? There's sin, and we make choices, and it kind of affects other people. This is the world we live in. Take a look at this quote here. It says, but as long as you refuse to forgive, a part of you is trapped in the past where you're continually being reminded of your pain. Until you forgive, you will not be fully released to go on with your life. Now, we're a community, we're a family here, we're an extended family here. And, you know, we're going to naturally hurt each other and stuff. Whether it's your parents. You know, as I was praying, I felt like, in particular, some of this might relate for you, for your parent, one of your parents or whatever, or maybe a sibling. Maybe someone in this room. But if you refuse to forgive, you say, no thanks, God, I'm going to hold on to this, then you get trapped. You're kind of in jail. You know, not only are you putting that person in jail, but you're in jail with this person in your heart. Now, you might say, you know,
let's see here. What we got here?
So the text we're going to read here is basically saying, forgive and you will be forgiven, right? You say, that's great. Pastor John, you don't know what I've gone through. Okay, I understand some people have some tough things, but I'm really hurt. You know, why should I forgive someone who's hurt me that badly? You know, just not fair. I should be able to hold on to it. Well, the why should I forgive is answered by Jesus tonight, by the text that we read. We're going to take a look at it. And this is really good news. I know it sounds like, oh man, this is kind of a sour message, you know? Well, actually, it's actually a good message because it's going to set you free, many of you tonight. And there are things that sometimes as adults, you know, we carry for many, many years. But as young people, you want to start right from the beginning to know how to forgive people, how to release forgiveness, how to ask for forgiveness. If you know how to do that, your heart will be free. You don't have to be constrained or locked up in your heart and always unhappy because that person did something wrong to you. God's going to help us tonight. If you remember for the guys, I was talking about how as young men, you know, we want to be really loving. We want to treat ladies well. And part of love is that, and I think I shared it here too, that Jesus didn't feel like going to the cross, right? But Jesus chose to do it. Jesus says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. So he loves us. Even though we were part of having him go to the cross and get crucified, He loves us like nobody else. And he says, I'm going to show you a different way. I'm going to show you how to love like I love. Because he's free. He's the most free, emotionally free person in the universe. He's not a trapping in his heart. Even though people spit at him, people cursed him, you know, we crucified him. But there's not this bitterness in his heart. And Jesus says, you know what? You're my son, you're my daughter. I want you to be like me. So I know that there's a pain in your heart. I'm going to show you a different way tonight. So let's take a look at the passage closer. Matthew chapter 18. Matthew chapter 18 says, Peter comes to Jesus and asks, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother when he sins against me? Up to seven times? So they're hanging out. You know, you got the disciples, you got the 12 disciples, you have the larger group hanging out. You spend 3 years with each other, you're going to get on each other's nerves a little bit, right? So Peter goes up to Jesus and says, Jesus, you know, he's probably upset about someone. He says, Jesus, how many times should I forgive someone in a day? And the teachers of that day said three times. Three times is a really good number in a given day. See, if you forgive three times, it's really good. So Peter must have thought, oh, I'm going to impress Jesus. Jesus, should I forgive them up to seven times? Because everyone knew three times is kind of the rabbis in that day said three times is good enough. And Jesus says something different, doesn't he? Verse 22, Jesus answered, I tell you, not seven times, but what? 77 times. So who's good at math? 70 times 7? 490. 490? That's good. 490. So Jesus is using the number 7. It's very symbolic. It's complete, right? Jesus is not saying 490 first time, just whack them. Yeah, go for it. 491. No, that's not what Jesus is saying, right? The point is, always forgive them. So it's not it's the symbolic number of perfection, right? 7. So complete. Always forgive them. Hold no grudges. Ever. That's kind of his point, right? Now, Jesus isn't saying, ignore what happened. Jesus isn't like, no, you guys never crucified me. Oh, do I remember that? No, he's not saying, deny it, ignore it. No, it actually happened. We really did hurt him. But Jesus is saying, forgive and you'll be forgiven. But again, you might be asking, how can I forgive someone for doing such an evil thing? Some of you have different stories. If things happen that are really, really, really awful. How can I forgive someone for doing such an evil thing? Jesus is going to get to the heart of the matter right now. He's saying to Peter, let me tell you a story, Peter. Jesus likes to tell stories. I love his stories. Verse 23, it says, therefore the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. As he began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him. Since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children and all that he had be sold to repay the debt. Okay, so what do we observe? What do we have here? We have a king, right? And Jesus tells us at the end of the passage that the king represents who? God, yeah. That's usually going to be a good answer if you're in church. God, yes. And Jesus is saying, let me describe for you how my father, what my father's personality is like, what my father's traits are like, how his heart is. So let me tell you a story of what my father's heart is like. So Jesus revealed to us who God is and how we should treat our siblings, parents, friends, strangers, whoever it is. And as you hear this story, again, I want you to be thinking about God. Say, God, speak to me. Who is this person that you want me to extend forgiveness to? Verse 23, we see that this king has servants. And these servants have debts. So they're like what we call tax farmers. Basically, the king allows these servants to collect taxes for them and at a profit. The king rules over them. Basically, it's time to collect. And it's a time of year when he's going to settle accounts with these servants, right? Verse 24, as he began the settlement, a man owed him 10,000 talents who was brought to him. When you say 10,000 talents, that's like me saying what? That's like me saying 100 million days' wages. Okay? 100 million. That's a lot. Okay? So if, when people listen to this story, they're like, what? Quadrupling wages? That's a lot, you know? So let's do the math here. You guys are smart. You guys are mathematicians, right? So if you worked every day since you were 1 day old, right? One, it's like, you came out, go to work, okay? Get to work, get a job. You're like, wow, okay? So, and you work 365 days a year for 7 years. That would equal 25,550 days.
That's a lot.
That's a lot. That does not equal 100 million days wages. Does that make sense to you? So, I'm trying to give you a scope for how much 100 million days is, right? So if you work every day for the rest of your life, it would only be 25,000. It would not be 100 million, right? So if you balance the scale, it's like 100 million is like, whoa, that's way more than 25,000. Are we tracking?
Yes.
Yeah, makes sense? Good math. Math, folks. Some of you did geometry 3 times. Good. Verse 26. When that servant who was in a monster amount of debt, so basically, let's say $1 billion, right? Billion. Many of you do not get allowances of $1 billion, right? Really a little smaller than that. That's what he owes. Verse 26, the servant fell on his knees. So the king is like, okay, you owe me $1 billion. How about it? The servant falls on his knees and says, be patient with me. Right? He's before the king. Says he begs, I'll pay you back everything. Do you think he can pay back everything? No, but he maybe felt that way emotionally. Now the kings of that age, and the people who are listening to the story, you know, of Jesus, knew that the kings in that Egypt area in the Greek period, they were ruthless. You owe something, you're going to pay it back, buddy. There's no mercy here. You know? So they know. People listen to the story, they're like, well, we know how the king's going to react to this. He's not going to like this. So he says, be patient, I'll pay back everything. So the hearers are expecting this to make no difference. Ah, he's pleading, but, you know, he's going to get whacked. But something totally unexpected happens as Jesus is telling the story, right? Verse 27, the servant's master took pity on him, cancels his debt, and lets him go. So the master, this king, feels compassion for the servant, right? And he not only cancels the debt, but he gives him a 10 easy instant payment plan, right? Is that what he does? Monthly payment plan? Is that what he does?
Yeah.
Every month, pay me $10 million. Is that what he says?
No.
He says, I'll wipe it all off. You know, that $1 billion, that's probably about how much maybe the king takes in a year. He says, I'll pay for it. He says, I'll cancel. Why? Because he pleads, right? I'll pay for your thing, for your debt. So this sounds almost impossible. But Jesus, what is Jesus saying? He says, look, this is like my Father. He's all powerful. When you come to him with a humble heart, he's going to show you mind-blowing, extravagant mercy to you. Extravagant love. That's his heart. You come humbly to him. You say, you know, forgive me for this. You know, I can't pay it back. You know, oh, you know, help me, help me. And Jesus is saying, look, my Father is like this extravagant king. I'm showing you a picture. Let me paint you a picture of what my Father is like. That's what he's saying. And of course, Jesus is sort of pointing to the cross, right? Because that's what Jesus does for us, right? Take a look at this text. And this is kind of what he's doing, the servant. Romans 10 says, if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. If you confess with your mouth, so this guy is confessing. And what Jesus did and the Father did was to pay for our enormous, offensive sin, right? So if you confess with your mouth, maybe you're here tonight and you don't know Jesus. Maybe you come to church because your parents met you. And that's cool. That was me. I wanted to stay home and watch the Three Stooges. Do you guys even know what the Three Stooges are?
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, I've got to go to church. You know? So Jesus didn't mean a whole lot to me. But I remember hearing this passage. If you confess with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, you can have a relationship with him. He'll forgive you for this enormous amount of debt. It's like, wow, that's great. So I kind of started to understand it. So Jesus is saying, this is a perfect portrait of what Jesus did for us. A billion dollars that he's forgiven for us. So that's a great story, right? Jesus forgives us. You've heard this. Jesus loves me, this I know. Amen. Lights, let's go home, okay? But that's not the end of the story, right? There's more to it. So you might say, yeah, Pastor John, I've heard the story. I'm saved. I'm a Christian. You know, life's pretty good. Sometimes it's a little difficult. But what happens is we're walking down the street. Who do we see? We see someone who owes us something. Maybe someone who sinned against us, right? Verse 28. But when that servant went out, he's like, whoo, I can't believe it. Forgive me. Oh, my goodness. I don't have to go to jail. I don't have to. Oh, my goodness. Okay. He's going out the street. But when that person went out, he found one of his fellow servants, so a friend of his, who owed him 100 denarii. What's 100 denarii? A day's wages, right? So 100 is kind of a lot, right? But, yeah, maybe in the thousands of dollars, maybe $10,000 or whatever, right? He grabs him, and he starts choking him. Can you imagine start choking your friend? You say, oh, I don't do that, right? Have you ever done that? Maybe with your words? You kind of choke him or choke her? And he says to his friend, don't choke each other now. He says to his friend, or this person, his fellow servant, he says, pay back what you owe me. Right? This is the guy. Where was he just now? He was before the king. Oh, Father, you know, please forgive me. You know, this. And then he sees someone who owes him a little bit of money, comparatively. He says, pay back what you owe me. Starts choking him. Right? So 100 million days wages versus 100 days wages. So that's a ridiculously small amount compared to what the first servant owed the king, right? So the first servant, instead of learning this lesson of God's grace or this master, this king's grace, he's going to be very exacting. Can you sell this to me? You owe me this? Pay it back! Right? Have you ever done that? Someone? Maybe with your words? Maybe not with your hands, quite like what I just did. But maybe with a look? Maybe with what you said to someone else about someone else? Maybe what you said in cursing to somebody, maybe in your heart? Verse 29. His fellow servant fell to his knees and begged him, be patient with me. I will pay back everything. Does that sound familiar to you?
Yeah.
That's almost word for word what that first servant said to the king. So we'd expect for him to show mercy, right? Verse 30, but he refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay back the debt. So not only does he choke the man, he demands the money. How much money can a person in prison pay you?
None.
Yes, none. Your friends would have to come to your aid, right? So when we don't forgive someone, when you and I don't forgive someone, we're basically writing them off and saying, you know, you can go to jail. The jail of my heart, I'm going to hold you in prison. You're not even worth working with or for me to be patient with. You're done when we don't forgive them. Verse 31. When the other servants saw this and what happened, they were greatly distressed and went and told their master, this is the king, right? Everything that had happened. So the others understood what had happened. It's like they're watching this thing. It's like, what's going on here? We just saw this master, this king, forgive you of so much. And you're sort of nickel and diming this guy? You're sort of, you know, I mean, are you kidding? So he tells the king, verse 32. And we're going to see another reason why, the why behind what you and I were really encouraged by the Bible, exhorting the Bible to forgive. Listen for verse 32. Then the master called the servant in, and he says to him, you wicked servant. He said, I canceled all that debt of yours
because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant, just as I had on you? What's the point? Since Jesus has had mercy on us in such an extravagant way, since we know this, this empowers us, even if you're not feeling it, it empowers us, even emotionally, to forgive and give mercy to other people. We don't give mercy to people because necessarily they deserve it. We forgive people because Jesus forgave us. Verse 34, verse 35. In anger, his master turned him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all he owed. This is how my Father in heaven will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother from your heart. It's pretty heavy. You know, we say the Lord's Prayer. You guys know the Lord's Prayer. And we say this part, it says, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Have you guys ever heard that? That's the same as saying, God, since I have forgiven my debtors, the people who have hurt me, forgive my sin. Does that make sense? And what does it say further? For if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But here's the kicker. This is the part that people don't usually preach or talk about. But if you do not forgive men their sins or women their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. What? This isn't the lovey-dovey Jesus that we hear about. Or God that we hear about, right? Hear that again. If you do not forgive people their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. And what kind of forgiving is Jesus talking about? Further, it says, unless you forgive your brother or your sister from your heart. It's not just, yeah, that didn't hurt me. I'm okay. No, that's not what Jesus says. It says you have to forgive people from your heart. I don't know about you, but I've got sins I need to get forgiven in my life. Do you know what I mean? There's things that, you know, I do. I'm just like, oh, my God, what are you doing? Oh, God, forgive me. I need those sins to be forgiven. Jesus says, because if you're a follower of Jesus, says because God has forgiven you so much, if you sort of just get really stingy with people, God says, you know what? Because you already know my love and you're forgiven, if you don't do that, I'm not going to forgive you. It's like, whoa, really? Jesus is saying it's illegal, in a sense, to withhold forgiveness if you're in God's kingdom. And when you don't forgive, you're saying again, you're saying, no thanks, God. I'm going to hold on to my hate, my hurt. I'm going to hold on to this wad of hair, this disgusting slimy thing. No thanks, Jesus. I'm just going to hold on to it. Jesus says, no, you can't do that. Not in our kingdom. If you do that, there's consequences. Later tonight, we're going to ask God to pull out some of the bitter root of unforgiveness in our hearts. You know, every one of us have gotten hurt from people, maybe in our family. We're going to ask God, Lord, oh, you love me. You want me to be free of this. You don't want me to hold on to this. Give me strength tonight. So we're going to do that soon. And just be thinking, God, speak to me. Who are you highlighting in my mind? Verse 34 talks about being tortured. It says the servant got tortured. What does it mean to be tortured? Some of us are tortured with fears. Some of you have different fears. Some of you have different levels of depression. And the Bible is saying, when you don't forgive, you're opening your heart up to sort of this kind of demonic activity of fears and depression and just deep loneliness. And you know, when you don't extend forgiveness, the Bible says you're, in a sense, you're getting tortured. Unless you release this forgiveness in your heart, unless you do it, there's things that settle in you. Maybe even physically, you might not feel good sometimes. Yeah. Bethany, my wife, is a physician assistant. She's in medicine, and she can tell you that what you do in your heart, if you hold certain bitterness or different things, it kind of expresses itself in your body. You can feel sick. You can get, you know, cramps. You can get, you know, strange. You can get depressed. You get angry. You know, and rise your blood pressure. All kinds of negative things. God understands us because He built us. He made us. He knows our bodies. And when we cram the stuff in, we don't let it out. This is kind of crude, but it's kind of like be constipated. It's true. You gotta let it out, man. It's healthy for you. Right? Think about it. It's not stuff that you're supposed to hold in. It's gonna mess you up.
Makes you feel very uncomfortable.
So what are we gonna do tonight about that? The Bible says, and the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. Maybe you're sick in your mind, in your emotions, in your body. The Lord will raise him up if he or she has sinned. He or she will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that what? So you may be healed. Some of us need some deep healing tonight. Because maybe you've held on to this unforgiveness and bitterness, and it's too heavy. If you're a middle school, a high schooler, or an adult, it's too heavy for you to hold on to. So one of the good things we're going to do tonight, I'm going to show you some basic, very simple, but very helpful tools or steps. You can, you know, tonight we're all together, so it's good. But, you know, after today, I want you to keep using this. And you get together with a friend and say, ah, you know, friend, would you be with me as I pray through this? And can you pray for me? Because I want a breakthrough with this. I don't want to hold on to this anymore. So you as a friend, you listen, you pray for the person, you help them along. I'm going to show you a handout. And it's going to just outline the steps for you. And this is something you can take home, but we're going to use this a little bit tonight. We're just going to start off. I want to give you just these powerful kind of tools. It's basically the Bible. And, you know, steps on how to forgive someone that it's really hard for you to forgive. Jeremy, if you can help out a little bit. I want to make this as practical as possible. You know, I wish I had this when I was growing up, because I had a lot of bitterness in my heart, and it sort of put me back a little bit, I feel like, in life, but I think God wants to help us. How many of you want to feel free tonight from some of the bitterness and things in your heart? Good. Okay, then, why don't you read that first paragraph for us? This is steps to forgiving, right at the top there.
This is a tool to help you work through the emotional, relational, and spiritual results of being hurt by another. Everyone has been and will be hurt by others in this life. We have no choice in this matter because we live in a fallen world full of broken people. But we do have a choice in terms of how we will respond to those who wound us. By applying the gospel to our hurts, we are set free from living a life of reaction to the pain and anger of being hurt. Forgiveness is the center of the good news of Jesus. Jesus sets us free by graciously forgiving us and by enabling us to forgive others.
Good. You read really well. Good emphasis.
How many of you have felt hurt by someone in your life?
Some of you have never been hurt. That's good.
Talk to me later. Tell me about your life. Interesting. Do you live in a bubble? Okay, that's okay. So we all have reasons, right? To want to forgive someone or to be released of this. Okay.
take a look at the related Bible text to meditate on. Take a look at Proverbs 14.
Should I just read this one?
Sure.
Okay. Related Bible text to meditate on. Ephesians. Okay. Proverbs 14:30. A heart at peace gives life to the body, but envy rots the bones. And Proverbs 20:22. Do not say, I'll pay you back for this wrong. Wait for the Lord, and he will deliver you.
Excellent. Thank you. So what does it say? When we don't forgive people, we don't have peace in our lives, in our hearts, in our bodies. And it says, the Bible says that when you have jealousy, or you have some kind of resentment or something, it rots the bones. It actually takes a physical toll on your body. Some people get headaches a lot. Some people have back pain. Some people, you know, it's not always because of unforgiveness, but sometimes you just wonder. Sometimes it just gets expressed in your body. It can hurt you pretty badly. So how to forgive someone? It says reveal. So the first step is, this is something you can always, you know, when you get home, keep this handy. You know, because it's like peeling an onion. There's always more layers in your life. You might not even think of it. It's like, I can't think of anyone to forgive right now. I feel pretty good. That's good. You're in denial, but that's okay. Number one, reveal. Ask the Holy Spirit to come and reveal anything that needs to be dealt with, any relationship where you've been hurt. So we're going to actually do this a little bit tonight, okay? So the first thing, you can meditate on these scriptures that I wrote there. The first thing is, you want to write the name of a person who hurt you. Right? You think about someone. And how they hurt you. It's not enough to just say, yeah, you hurt me, but I forgive you. No. They hurt you or sinned against you specifically or very in a detailed way. So you want to mention that, how the person hurt you. But the problem that happens is, so if I start hitting this person here, Miss Vivian, if I start hitting this person, Vivian starts hitting next person. Keep going. Lightly. And it just kind of goes all around the world, right? So, although I hurt Vivian has sort of what we call reactionary sins. Okay, did she cause that? I might have hurt her first. Did she cause that? Maybe not. But what she's responsible for, what Vivian's responsible for, is her reaction. And in her reaction, even though I didn't cause that pain in my life, I could sin as a consequence of it. It's a flurry of pens, so I'm going to say it again. Okay, this is really important that you guys catch this. Okay, someone hurts you, someone sins against you. You might have not caused that in the beginning, but because you got hurt, you might start hurting other people. Because someone hurt you, and that you are very much responsible for. Does that make sense? So how you respond is key. How you respond, God cares about that. Because that too can kind of lock you up in your heart. So I want you to, we're going to just spend 30 seconds, we're going to ask God, Lord, would you reveal to me someone, maybe it's someone you haven't thought about for a long time. Or maybe it's someone that you see every day. But we're going to ask God, Lord, show me tonight. You know, there might be tons of people. But show me tonight, you know, what's the one or two people? Particularly one. If you think of two, that's fine. What's one person, God, that you're highlighting to my heart right now that you want me to deal with tonight? Or at least start to deal with? Okay? So, we're going to just put on a little bit of worship music, because we're gonna do some business with God, you know, before the Lord here. And so you have a pen, so you know this is all confidential. You don't look at the person next to you, what they're writing down. And what you're gonna do is we're gonna pray, and you're gonna write down who this person is. So if you feel like you're too close to someone, you just push a little, you know, sit a little bit further away. But let me pray for us. So let's pray. So this is something we're doing. Again, why? Because we want that fresh water to flow. There's things that are clogging us, clogging your heart. You say, God, you know, I do want to get closer to you, but I never feel, I feel like there's something blocking me. You know? This could be one of those things. You say, I'm always depressed. I'm always angry, I'm always lonely, I curse a lot, I feel like I can't help it. This might be one barrier in your life that might be causing that. God, I can't love people the way that I know I'm supposed to love them. I'm so selfish, Well, again, this might be something that might help you get through. So let's pray. Just close your eyes before the Lord. Just ignore the person on the left and the right for now. This is so important tonight. Jesus, because you love me, because you forgave me, God, I want to be merciful too. God, reveal to me who that one person is, one or two people that you're highlighting to my life, to my mind and my heart right now, that you want me to start to forgive. Repeat this after me. Jesus, reveal to my heart right now the person who hurt me that you want me to forgive. Remind me how this person hurt me. I want you to just write down. If you feel like your mind is just kind of, you know, God's sort of bringing something to your mind, or you're thinking about someone, go ahead and write it out. Just, you can put it small. You can initial it. You know, sometimes you think, oh, someone's going to see this. You can just initial it. Whoever the person is, you know who it is. And write out. Again, you can initial it too. How did this person hurt you specifically? Again, you can just kind of just write it to yourself in a way that's helpful for you. How many of you, as we just prayed right now, you felt like you were reminded of someone that hurt you? Raise your hand if you. You're just reminded of someone tonight. Good. For those of you who you don't, you keep asking the Lord, Lord, show me someone. You might say, oh, that was nothing. That was just a little thing. Just write that person down. We're just exercising this, right? Learning how to forgive. If it's brought to mind, maybe even if it's a small thing, it's important to God. God cares about your heart. I want you to be free. And then let's pray one more time. Jesus, show me how I've reacted in a sinful way to this person when they hurt me. Show me, God. Just wait on the Lord. God, what is it that I did? What is it that I said? What is it that I thought? Or spoke. Maybe you just kind of curse the person. Oh, that person will never do this. Or, oh, I hope this person never. Whatever it is, God hears it. Remember last night, Sarah just speaks to herself. And God says, you know, I hear that. That hurts my heart. Go ahead and write that out. Just, you know, you can just put one word, two words. Maybe you feel like maybe you did do a reactionary sin. Maybe you did respond negatively to this person. You feel like you had something specific, raise your hand. Good. Not good, but we're going to get free tonight. You know, we're going to ask God to help us more and more. God, we're going to get more and more free of this. So number two is, again,
when we talk about this, I'm not saying you just say, oh, it never happened. Oh, no, 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 it never happened, never happened. That's not what you're, that's not what God wants you to do. It did happen. It says, once things have come to the surface, you may need to grieve it, feel the pain of it in a fresh way. So you're not saying, oh, no, it's okay. Bobby, it's all right. You hit me with the 2x4. It's all right. It was kind of an accident. It's all right. Now, you don't want to do that. Or something more emotional. Maybe someone gave you a look, you know, and you can still see that look in your face. You're like, oh. Forgiving too quickly without adequately processing it can lead to further resentment. So if you just say, oh, it's okay, it's okay. Okay, over time, you still, it's not okay. So it starts building in you. You get more and more bitter. So that's something that I want to encourage you when you go home and you do this on your own. You may ask God, Lord, help me to grieve of this. God, this, that really hurt me. God, that really hurt my feelings. You know, when this happened, when I felt rejected. You know, so you want to process that with the Lord. Remember I told you about my orange juice story with my siblings? You know, that hurt me. They said they would do something, they promised, and they didn't play games with me when I was little. But I know that God doesn't disappoint me like that. That's why I know, well, I can forgive them. Because God's different. Maybe some of you may feel like you need to do it. Let's just take 10 seconds here. You just talk to the Lord and you say, God, ouch. I remember that time this happened. Whatever you wrote. Say, God, I really hurt. My feelings were really hurt by that. You just tell the Lord right now. I remember that time. It wasn't fun. It was hurtful. Number 3. Confession. Just empty your heart to God about your feelings, reactionary sin toward the person. Agree with God with their sin. Don't rationalize or blame something. Yeah, but you know, he said, she said this about me. So I gossip about her too. No, don't try to rationalize it. You know, you take responsibility of it. And you specifically confess that to God. And we'll do that in a second. Well, let's do that right now. Let's take 30 seconds. Whatever your reactionary sin is, however way you first acted, it was negative. Let's ask God to forgive us. You just say it to the Lord, just under your breath. Just repeat after me. Jesus, please forgive me. I admit with you that what I did, and you can kind of fill in the blank under your breath, this, whatever it is that you wrote, is sinful too. Please forgive me. Number 4, extend forgiveness. The Word of God tells us to forgive those who have hurt us, not because you feel it, but because out of obedience, because Jesus forgave us, because unforgiveness is a poison that kills and gives place to more trouble in your life. Right? So we're going to extend forgiveness. And this might be a little bit difficult for you, but you guys are courageous. So we want to kind of go for it. So as a choice of the will, you're choosing to forgive. You're going to, in a sense, you're before God. In a sense, you're kind of praying to God, but also sort of declaring something to God. And in a sense, this person, even though the person is not here. Just doing what the Bible says, to confess to one another so you'll be healed, right? So, for example, you're going to say the name of the person. Just under your breath. You can say their initials if you want. You know, just out of privacy. You're going to say, so-and-so, I forgive you for blank, blank, blank. However way they hurt you. And I want you to actually say it. Specify. It can be real quiet, but it's important that you specify. Okay? You guys ready? So you have your sheet of people. You know who it is, right? So we're just going to declare this, right? So say this with me. Okay. Say the name right now. One, two, three. Say the name.
Austin.
I forgive you.
I forgive you.
For? Say what the person hurts. Just under your breath. That's for the people to hear. Say the person's name again.
Austin.
I choose this day.
Choose
to no longer live, in reaction, to that which you have said, or done against me. Say the person's name again under your breath. I release you from the prison of my unforgiveness, even as I've been forgiven. So also, in Jesus'
name,
I forgive you. Good. If you have another person, this is something you can do at home or later when we pray. You can just kneel before the Lord and you can do this again. Number five, blessing. And one of the ways that you say, sometimes you say, God, I know I forgave this person, but you know, I just need a little bit more. I just feel like, how do I continue to forgive this person? One of the ways to do it is to bless this person. You might be like, what? Pastor John, you're already stretching me here. To try to forgive this person. You want me to bless this person? That's what God says to do. Number five, in Jesus' name, we're going to bless this person who's hurt you. Because what does the Bible say? Bless those who persecute you. Bless them, do not curse. Why? Because when you can get to the point where you can actually bless this person, then you're getting free. You know what I mean? You don't have to hold on to you're not in prison anymore. You're going to break any judgments and curses you've made against the one that you've forgiven. Maybe you said something. Oh, well, you know what she's like? She's like, blah, blah, blah. You know, you tell someone, yeah, you know him, you know, he's actually like this. Or what, all these curses that we speak over, judgments that we've done over them. God wants us to break those things and bless this person. So repeat after me. Say the name again, just under your breath. Okay, one more, in the count of three. One, two, three. Say the person's name under your breath. In Jesus' name, I bless you. I pray that God prospers you. And I know that God loves you. And I pray that you would know this. In Jesus' name. Good. Oh, feel a little bit of power there. Number six. Filling, healing, and sealing. So what does this mean? So we forgave this person, but there still might be a void in your heart. It's like, Pastor John, I mean, that kind of feels good a little bit, but I still feel empty. What this person did, you know, you're helping me try to remember some of this. Oh, I kind of still feel a little bit. So what we're going to do is ask God, Lord, this void, this hole in my heart this person caused, God, come and seal it. Come and fill that hole, that emptiness in my heart. So you see that little prayer up there, or in the bottom? We're going to pray this together. Okay, I'm going to read it for us so that you know what you're going to pray, so that you can pray with understanding, okay? This Holy Spirit, come and fill every empty space in my heart. You're not praying with me yet. Come and heal every wound in me. And seal every opening so that I will be protected. In Jesus' name, in the name of Jesus, I command any demons to leave my life. The thing about demons, you might be like, what? Demons, you know? You don't have to be afraid of demons. Basically, they're just kind of like flies, you know? Kind of house flies. If there's sort of a wound or a problem, they'll come, they'll kind of lay eggs, and they try to make it worse, you know? But you get rid of the wound, you just shoo them away. They have nothing to latch onto anymore. Does that make sense? So if you have a wound, you hold on to it. Yeah. I don't care. I don't care about this wound. It gets all nasty. You know, it gets like they're laying like maggots and like little eggs and all over you. It just gets worse. And you get infected. It just gets worse and worse. So the demons are like, sweet. You don't want to forgive? All right. Come on over, everybody. Now let's lay some nasty stuff on you. But the problem is not necessarily the demons or other things that come up. It's the wound. So if you get rid of the wound, you don't have to fear. You don't have to any of those things. So that's why we're talking about that. So you don't have to be afraid of it. God is much more powerful. So it says, in the name of Jesus, I command any demons to leave my life. I close the door of my heart to unforgiveness. God, help me to release forgiveness and blessing every time this person comes to my mind. I should say person. This person comes to my mind and I feel hurt about it. In Jesus' name. Okay, so we're going to pray this together just for God to seal any void that we feel tonight. Okay? So we're going to read it together sentence by sentence. We're going to pray this. Right now, just put a hand over your heart. Hold the piece of paper with the other hand. Let's all stand and do this.
As we stand, this is just a sign to God. God, I want to take a stand. I don't want to stay in unforgiveness anymore to this person. So let's repeat this together. Let's pray this to the Holy Spirit together. Ready? 1, 2, 3. Holy Spirit, come now and fill every empty space in my heart. Okay, does everyone have the piece of paper? Good? Okay. Come and heal every wound in me and seal every opening so that I will be protected. In the name of Jesus, I command any demons to leave my life. I close the door of my heart to unforgiveness. God, help me to release forgiveness and blessing every time this comes to my mind and I feel hurt about it. In Jesus' name, amen. I pray for you. Jesus, we come to you right now.